Well, this morning's message on Mother's Day is simply called More Than Riches. And I take this title from a statement out of the Old Testament book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, that simply says, a woman of noble character, who can find? Rhetorical question, a woman of noble character, who can find? She's worth more than riches. Now, listen, I know a lot of women, whenever they hear this statement, Proverbs 31, they get nervous. They view Proverbs 31 as this impossible checklist of womanhood. That's not why it's given. Proverbs 31 is actually written from the vantage point of saying, hey, men, hey, gentlemen, pay attention to the women in your life. Pay attention to your wife, to your mom, to your sister, to your daughters. Pay attention to the godly women in your life and be grateful. A woman of noble character, she's worth more than riches. They don't grow on trees. And so today we want to celebrate and affirm all the women in our church because a woman of noble character is worth more than riches in her circle of influence. We also want to give an additional word of honor to all the moms among us because mothering is extraordinarily important work. It's difficult, it's challenging, it's ever so daily. And let me also state the obvious. Mother's Day, for a lot of people, can evoke a wide range of emotions. I know that, I acknowledge that, but hopefully today could be a day of love and respect, gratitude, and grace. And actually, honoring our moms has some history to it. Here in America, Mother's Day, as an official holiday, is just a little over 100 years old. Established in 1914, signed in an official declaration by President Woodrow Wilson celebrating Mother's Day on the second Sunday of every May. Back during the Middle Ages, it was called Mothering Sunday, and traditionally it was on the fourth Sunday of Lent. And to this day, in the United Kingdom, Mothering Sunday is celebrated on the fourth Sunday of Lent. But back beyond that, God in His profound wisdom in giving us the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and your mother. Well, about a month or so ago, I asked four friends of mine to help me out with Mother's Day message. And I sent them a list of questions, and I asked them to sit down with our videographer, Richard Bowling, and respond to some questions. And so these four ladies, Meredith Duncan, Kathy Krimsky, Carol Manley, Melanie Watterson, in this first video segment, they're going to be responding to this question. Moms provide both love and limits. Talk to us about that dynamic and that tension. And then I also ask, talk to us a little bit about your concept, how you went about providing a lifelong vision for your children, a vision for lifelong Christian discipleship. So, without saying any more, why don't you give your attention, please, to our video screens.
I think love and limits are essential for parenting. I mean, the Bible provides limits for us as Christians, and the Bible provides messages of love for us as Christians. And so in being a mother, I tried to do the same with my boys. I think that they know that I love them. I always tried to express my love for them and show my love for them. I think they know that I'm their biggest fan, and I hope they never doubt the love that I have for them. But we did establish limits in our home, and we wanted the boys to recognize those limits and embrace those limits at the same time. So basically, I was just trying to model the love of God as our Father when I was parenting our boys.
Well, God's love is limitless, But there have always been limits on our behavior and consequences. And since the Garden of Eden, we see that. So we have to have love with limits since he's the model.
So my advice for moms is that when you love and when you set limits, that you do it with consistency. That your love would not vary based on their behavior or based on how you feel that day. That your limits for them that you've set in their best interests are not going to change out of emotion or whether they like them or not. But that you're consistent and they know they can trust you and they can count on you. And that you love them totally and completely.
I love watching moms with their new babies. They've spent 9 months waiting to meet that child and the love just flows straight from them. But the job gets a little harder after that, maybe not physically, but it gets harder because it's now time to start teaching limits. The mother also is learning her own limits in life. If I were to encourage a mom, I would encourage her to learn to trust God's limits for her child.
My greatest hope for them in life is to be a believer and to embrace God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and everything that that entails. So I communicate and continue to communicate that vision to my children when I'm mothering them so that they always know what my vision is. And I hope that, and so far, they have embraced that vision as their own.
I think the most important thing we can do, the most important thing as a parent, is to make our own faith walk a priority. I believe there's no other way to truly extend to them the love that we've received, the forgiveness we've received, the hope of eternal life. I think there's no other way to truly impact them with the gospel than to be who we want them to be.
I would tell my children that I really didn't care how much money they made or really how many different successes they could acquire. What I wanted them to learn was that their relationship with Jesus was what was important. One of the things that I learned was that I could trust God in the hard times, in their struggles, and that that was a big part of their development as a Christian.
I started them in Bible studies, women's Bible studies, when they were infants. And they grew up at this church. They grew up having friends here. And at every activity, we were in family groups. They knew people. I have a daughter who's married to a youth minister, and we've actually discussed a little bit about this. And she said one issue that they have nowadays is that many families don't sit down and eat dinner and pray. We always had dinner together as a family. We always said a prayer together. We actually prayed the prayer list from the church. We had memory verses, and my kids were very involved in church, like I said. But one benefit of that was that the people, the women of this church and couples, each of them have mentors here that they love and that they still talk to and get advice from to this day. So we lived life with this church.
Okay, we'll hear a little more from Fab Four here in just a bit. Let me point you to a scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, let me just sort of remind you who Timothy is. Timothy is a famous evangelist known as the Apostle Paul's son in the faith. He grew up in Lystra, which is a city smack in the middle of present-day Turkey. And here is Timothy's faith legacy. Paul says to him, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first, notice this, lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. And so it was Timothy's mother, I mean grandmother. He doesn't mention a father or grandfather, but particularly Timothy's mom, who was so instrumental in his faith development. That's actually sort of my story. Some of you have stories where you've got, you know, a long history in the Christian faith, and you can point back to, you know, grandparents who were really involved, great-grandparents. That is fantastic. I love stories like that. It's not really my story. My mom was the one who created sort of a combustion of faith in our family. You know, she really kind of got firmly involved, engaged, going to church as a teenager. My dad became a Christian like in his 30s, but it was my mom who was really the influential force. Now, the Bible doesn't leave it up to guess what Timothy's mom was doing as a teacher. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says it like this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it." And notice this: "And how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." He says, you've known the Holy Scriptures from infancy. He says, as a young child, Timothy, you were becoming biblically literate. Your mother was teaching you spiritual truth and giving you a skeletal structure. You were becoming biblically literate at a young age. And why is this so important? Well, as Eugene Peterson says, the Bible does what only the Bible can do. It reveals to us what we could not otherwise know. The Bible reveals to us who God is. The Bible reveals to us who we are. And the Bible reveals to us how we relate to God. And it's so important that we have that foundation. Paul says to Timothy, your mom was front and center in creating biblical literacy in your home life. One more scripture. This is out of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. To every younger person here, it says this: "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Do not neglect your mother's instruction." What's the implication? Life's not intuitive. The implication is, you don't just figure out life naturally. And if you grow up under a mother and a father who are directing you and instructing you and correcting you, you are so blessed and so fortunate. Verse 9, "What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." You want to know what's better than an Olympic gold medal? It's receiving training and teaching from a godly mother, a godly father, and paying attention to it. That's better than any gold medal. All right. I want to go back to the foursome of Meredith Duncan, Kathy Kremske, Carol Manley, Melanie Watterson. And I asked them, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give yourself about motherhood, and what specific encouragements would you like to share with the moms in our audience today? So one more time, please give your attention to our screens.
So if you're struggling in your parenting, one of the things that I want you to know is that God gave you that child. And he gave you that child because you are perfectly equipped with him to parent that child through whatever their struggles are. God will use your brokenness, your sin, your struggles, your failings. He will use those in a redemptive way to teach your own child about how to trust him. Your child needs you. They need your heart, your sweet eyes, your kind, kind voice of hope. But I do want to encourage you, Mom, to quit being surprised that sin is enticing to your child. Quit being surprised at the pull of the world that wants to take over what you have spent years trying to create within your child. I want you to know that they're in a battle, They're in a battle for their very souls. But there is hope in that because Jesus is their hope, not you.
Well, I've been a stay-at-home mom with raising my children, and I was also then a single mom working. So I know that every form of motherhood can be different, can be difficult. Every path that you have can be difficult. But definitely being a single mom has its own challenges, unique challenges. So my advice would be to stay connected and to know that you're loved, to know that God loves you. And also to remember Hebrews 13:6, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God never leaves us. He just loves us infinitely.
I would really like to encourage new moms to relax and realize that they are perfectly well equipped. God has equipped them to raise the children that God has sent to them. I would definitely encourage young moms and let them know that they're doing a great job, that, you know, the old saying that the days are long and the years are short is really true. I remember days being very long, especially when the boys were younger. But the years have gone by very quickly. Each stage in motherhood is different. So mothering a very small infant, to mothering toddlers, to mothering elementary, and then junior high and high school, and now college age kids and beyond, it's all different, but it's all doable. And I have found each stage to have its own unique joys that go along with it.
James chapter 1 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And also Isaiah 49:16 says, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. So no matter what you're going through, God knows and he cares and he'll carry you through.
One of my very favorite verses is one that I've had to learn to depend upon, which was to be still and know that God is God. So when I've been busy in my trying to fix things, that verse has told me to stop and wait and trust that the God of the heavens is also the God of my child.
The one scripture that I think of daily in raising our boys is that the scripture that provides, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is grown, he will not depart from it. I take so much I put so much into that scripture, and I remember that always, that Curtis and I are just trying to do our best and to raise our children in a way that's pleasing to God, and we hope that they will not depart from it. We have faith that they will not depart from it when they're grown.
Forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And the reason that's my favorite is because every day I would have a failure of some kind. But in all of it, we can trust God and move forward. And sometimes as women, we get very hard on ourselves for the mistakes we've made. But God wants us to press on toward the goal. And so with each failure, we would say our I'm sorrys. We would say, I forgive you. We would say, I love you. And then we would leave that mistake, that failure behind, and press on toward the goal of training our children to be who God wants them to be.
Yeah. Thanks so very, very much to Meredith and Melanie and Carol and Kathy. Appreciate that. Let me put an image up here on the screen. This is going to be familiar to virtually all of you. This is an image from Southwest Flight 1380, just about a month ago, a flight scheduled to go from New York to Dallas's Love Field. But after the plane leveled off at 32,000 feet, catastrophe struck. Engine number one, the engine on the left-hand side, experienced an uncontained engine failure. Basically, what that means is the engine exploded. You can see the cowling missing. and one of the fan blades separated, actually punctured the fuselage of the airplane, broke a window, completely gone. Sudden depressurization occurred, and sadly, one passenger was fatally injured. As soon as this happened, the captain and the first officer on the flight deck, you know, they knew something catastrophic had occurred. They donned their oxygen masks. They began an emergency descent to 10,000 feet where the air is breathable. They quickly type in on the transponder 7,700, letting everybody in the aviation world know we have an emergency here. Making a long story short, they made a successful emergency landing in Philadelphia. Now, somebody said, yes, it was a terrible thing. That plane lost an engine. No. It's more than that. Much more than that. You know, a twin-engine commercial airliner can lose an engine, and it's not ideal, but it's not really a big deal. All right? They would declare an emergency. They could land at a near airport. But there are a number of twin-engine commercial jets that are even ETOPS certified. ETOP simply means extended twin operations, meaning they're certified to fly on one engine for up to 180 minutes, 3 hours. This was more than just losing an engine. You have a compromised aircraft. You have a damaged airplane, and they had no idea how this airplane would handle as they're coming in. Bottom line, a successful landing. The captain of this aircraft has been praised nationwide. The captain handled this situation beautifully. Superb airmanship. It was said that this captain displayed nerves of steel. You can listen to all of the ATC communications after this emergency happened. Calm, cool, collected, simply a superb demonstration of professionalism and excellence. Let me put up another photo here. That gentleman is Dean Schultz. Dean is a Southwest Airlines captain. He lives actually just outside of San Antonio in Bernie, Texas. He's married, has two children, and so standing next to him is his wife. Her name is Tammy Jo. She is also a captain for Southwest Airlines, and she was the captain on Southwest Flight 1380. She was the person who demonstrated nerves of steel. She was the person who demonstrated incredible aviation skills. Who is she? She's a solid woman of faith, a very caring, giving person who takes care of a lot of people. One person described her as a formidable woman, sharp as a tack. She's a member at the First Baptist Church in Bernie, Texas. She's led the children's worship ministry there. She's taught Sunday school for years. She'll teach some adult groups, teaches high schoolers, teaches middle schoolers, teaches children. When the church heard about this, they said, "We're very impressed, but we're not shocked at all." Tammy Jo often said that she loves her job because it gives her an opportunity to, and I quote, "witness for Jesus Christ almost every single day." People who've worked with her said she treats everyone with incredible dignity and respect. And often, if people are going through a difficult time, she might ask, "May I pray for you? May I pray with you?" And she will share a particular scripture for comfort. Since she has been thrust into the national spotlight, she said, "It's my prayer that I can simply use this as a platform to share my faith and awaken people's eyes to what a great God we have." Now, another photo, please. That's her. By the way, she was one of the first female fighter pilots in the Navy several years ago, flying the F-18. a woman of noble character. Who can find? Where do you find a woman like that? The Bible reminds us you find a woman like that in all sorts of environments. You find a woman of noble character on a flight deck, in a corporate office, in a classroom, in a hospital. To quote Scripture, you find a woman of noble character managing their homes to the glory of Jesus. You'll find women of noble character in the marketplace, in the home, in the church, in the community, doing what? Bringing their skills, bringing their creativity, bringing their intelligence, bringing their faith to the table, using their life as a platform to witness for Jesus Christ and to shine a spotlight on Him. Tammy Jo Schultz is not one in a million. She is one of millions of godly women. And as Proverbs 31 would also say, charm's deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In other words, gentlemen, open your eyes and notice the godly women all around you. Don't take them for granted. That wife, that mom, that sister, that daughter, she's to get the honor she deserves. One more scripture. This is from Isaiah 66. And it simply says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. That's the Lord speaking to His people. Now, don't gloss over this, please. In an ancient culture, filled with gods and goddesses who are arbitrary, difficult to please, almost impossible to please, the living God, Yahweh, steps in and says, I want to reveal myself to you. I'm not one of the gods. I'm not one of the goddesses. They mean nothing anyway. I am the true and living God. And whenever the true and living God describes Himself to His people, what does He do? Read it all through the Bible. He'll say, I'm compassionate and I'm gracious. I'm compassionate and I am gracious. Compassion in the Hebrew simply means from the female womb. He says, I care for you the way a mom cares for her child. I look at you. You want to know what God thinks of you? He says, I feel for you. I have emotion for you. And anybody in here that's a parent, not just a mom, but dads, you know how we feel about our kids. There's this intuitive, visceral, you know, it's right there in your bones. I love and I feel for those kids. God says, you want to know what I think about you? I have emotion for you. I'm compassionate and I am gracious, which simply means not only do I feel, I act on it. And I will act in your best interest. And the greatest action of all is what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He's standing ready to act today, telling us anytime we're weary and heavy laden, that we can come to the throne of grace and mercy, and there we find mercy to help us in our time of need. God has a heart for you. God acts in your best interest, and back to Isaiah 66. Where did our Bible verse go? It disappeared. There it is. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Gang, honor the women in your life today. Honor your mom. When you're younger, honor her with obedience, even through those difficult teenage years. When you become an adult and in your own independence, honor her by always showing respect. And as she grows older, honor her by letting her know she's never a burden and making sure her needs are met. Moms, your presence is huge. We salute you for it. Women of noble character, younger, older, married, single, you make a world of difference, a world of difference. And your influence is worth more than riches. God bless you.